can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am very happy to be joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello.
Okay, so on this episode, we are talking about some sci-fi films. We are going to be talking about Alita: Battle Angel and Ghost in the Shell. So Alita is out right now in theaters, and I picked Ghost in the Shell particularly to talk about it. It came out in 2017. They have a lot of similarities. If you have seen the advertisements for Alita, I feel like...
And how can you miss them? Holy buckets, they are promoting the heck out of the show.
Oh, the eyes. Like, yeah, they are promoting it. And not only are they promoting it, but I feel like the other thing that I just can't not see are her eyes, mm-hmm. which are huge. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering why, my guess is because it is based off of a manga, which is a Japanese comic book. And so I feel like the eyes of her look like, you know, anime style.
Yes.
And that is really another, that is like one of the reasons I wanted to choose to talk about Ghost in the Shell and Alita. And it's because they're both based off of Japanese works. They're both based off of manga. And also just the controversy that has surrounded both films, I definitely feel like I heard about it more in Ghost in the Shell. And just, I don't know, some of the styles and some of the themes of both films. Also, I do want to mention something that I will talk about later, but Alita is also produced by James Cameron, and this movie has kind of been long in the making. It's a project that James Cameron has been talking about for a very long time. And so I just feel like it's something that people have been waiting for, but they're promoting it a bunch. But it's also probably not the Avatar-like blockbuster that James Cameron was hoping for.
Probably not.
It's a little different. But I also will talk about, you can really feel the echoes of Avatar and obviously James Cameron's hand in Alita as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to start with talking about Alita. As I said, this is in theaters now, came out 2019. This is an action film based on the 1990s Japanese manga series called Gundam, also known as Battle Angel Alita, which was made, written and illustrated by Yukito Kishiro. It is about a deactivated female cyborg who is revived, but cannot remember anything of her past life and goes on a quest to find out who she is. If that sounds like a movie you've seen before, yeah, you're just going to keep thinking that the whole time you're watching this film. Because I was like, I feel like I've seen this movie before. I feel like I know the classic identity searching, mind wiped sort of cyborg character. Yes.
Wait, didn't we talk last week about an identity searching?
Yep.
Except that she wasn't a cyborg.
Yep,
but
except she was like an alien superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was interesting, the theater that I went to go see this movie at, it was only playing like Alita and then Captain Marvel and potentially Greta, which is another female lead movie. And it was just all female protagonists, which was really cool. But I would say definitely Alita and Captain Marvel were very much very similar. Sci-fi, powerful, like almost supernatural powers of a female protagonist, and about amnesia. So the diversity for me in the theater was not a lot.
Mm.
But, you know, I went to go see Alita and it was okay. It was pretty good. It's directed by Robert Rodriguez. And again, also created by James Cameron, who wrote it along with Leta Kalogridis. And it was produced by James Cameron as well and John Landau. It stars Rosa Salazar as Alita. Christopher Waltz as Dr. Dyson Ido, who is a scientist and kind of becomes like Alita's father figure. Also, Kian Johnson as Hugo, which is Alita's love interest. Mahershala Ali as Vector, who is an entrepreneur, who kind of sort of a villain in the film, or at least a sketchy character. Also, Jennifer Connelly as Dr. Sheeran. And Edward Norton also appears in the film. I saw him and I was like, gosh, I know that guy. What is his name? What is his name? And then finally I was like, oh, of course, Edward Norton. And he's not a huge character, but he plays, you see him occasionally, sort of more around the end. But I also want to mention that in this film is George Ledenborg Jr. as Tanji. He was in the newest Transformers film, which I talked about earlier on the podcast. And also Lana Condor as Kayomi, who is a friend of Hugo's. And she is in, of course, To All the Boys I've Ever Loved, or To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Which we've also talked about on the podcast. So I just wanted to mention them.
Which I have seen.
They're back. Oh, good. Have you read the book?
I have not, but it's now surprising. It's on my TBR list.
Oh, okay, good.
Which is so long, I'm never going to get to it.
Oh, gosh. And it's in the series, too, so a lot. It's okay. She does a good job in this film. Okay, so Alita Battle Angel. Really, there's so much going on in this film. Like, honestly, probably more, like, plot-wise than like probably too much to make this film any good, to be honest. It's kind of like, it's got like that sci-fi movie bloat, you know, there's so much world building and whatnot, and there's so many elements of like, okay, it's a dystopia, like what does this mean, who's the overlord now, like what is the war that probably caused this, what is the fallout that probably caused this. Mm-hmm. There's just so much going on, and there's like, oh, people now can do this with their hands, that's weird, I didn't know that, there's telepathy. What?
Jeez.
It's just so much, and I think they're trying to put a lot into this movie that I just don't think it was destined to be super clear or concise, especially because they're using it off of a source material like a manga that is more serialized. It's definitely got a lot of content, and it's just like trying to put a bunch of books into one movie.
I hate it when they do that.
Right. It's just, you know, it's not going to be good. And the other thing is, I think they were setting it up to have a sequel, and I don't know if they're going to end up doing that. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Box office got a little bit of a bigger boost now that it's being shown in China. That, of course, will help. But I don't know. I feel like they set you up kind of for a sequel, and I'm surprised they did because there's so much information in this film. Maybe the next one will be better because they're not trying to educate me so quickly on the world that Alita Battle Angel is in. And I also want to mention this takes place in the future. Kind of like a dystopian future, you know? So let me just say, in this film, when they were like, I don't know, year 2534 or whatever super future year it is, in the dystopia where there are cyborgs and whatnot, everyone looks like they're from the early 2000s. I don't understand. Like, you're telling me cargo pants are still in style?
They're very convenient.
No.
It's your pockets.
I told my boyfriend that. I was like, everyone in the future just has cargo pants. He's like, it's because they're the most utilitarian. I'm like, no.
It's post-apocalyptic. You got to carry stuff. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
People have robot arms. They could just build another arm to carry their stuff.
But what if your arm falls off? Then you have a pocket to put it in.
That's true. The cargo shorts had a lot of, they have a lot of pockets. I mean, maybe apparently they're going to make a comeback. But that was also interesting that in this version of the future, everyone just kind of wears normal clothes.
Yeah.
Except in a lot of other dystopian futures, everyone's wearing, you know, like robot suits and like superhero outfits.
Latex.
Yeah, exactly. There was no pleather in this film. But interesting. Also, I want to comment the love interest, Hugo. He looks like the cool rebel teenager from like late 1990s, early 2000s. Like, almost like Johnny Depp in Crybaby or like Sean in Boy Meets World. He's got like the leather jacket, you know, like the handkerchief thing in his hair. It's probably not the right word. And he has like, he rides a motorcycle. It's like the hair that's kind of slicked back, but it has those pieces that kind of fall in the front.
Oh, geez.
You know, yeah. Kind of just like, I don't know, tickle his forehead. I'm not sure. I just couldn't stop seeing Sean. I kept looking at it. I was like, I've seen him before. But more, it's like I've seen the amalgamation of every rebel teen that he's trying to be. And I just couldn't unsee it. And again, you're telling me that's the style of boy that comes back. I guess everything comes back.
Yeah, it all comes back around. Apparently,
that's the thing. Yeah, apparently
the 90s came back around in this, then, you know.
Right, somehow, for whatever reason. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back and keep talking about Alita Battle Angel.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are continuing to talk about the sci-fi film Alita Battle Angel. So earlier I mentioned the cargo pants of the future, which look like the cargo pants of the 2000s, early 2000s. They never changed. That's fine. Whatever. Also like the bad flannel that just kind of came back. But then it's like everyone seems to have like a mechanical arm and bad flannel and cargo shorts. And then you also get people in giant robotic suits. Which is really interesting. I kind of want to mention, it's like in this future version, you can kind of survive if every part of your body gets destroyed except for your head and part of your spinal cord. I guess the future, you know, brought us a lot of things like amazing surgery techniques and whatnot. I mean, obviously cyborg people.
I was just gonna say we've become the Borg from Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, to be honest, I really don't know.
it's okay.
But like, that's the thing with Alita, the character, is she is found and then you find like, you know, she's a cyborg, but it's like only part of her body and her head, which is like has a human brain, I guess. And then they're able to put that into a cyborg body and she can survive and fight and she's like super amazing. But then, like, other characters also have, like, cyborg bodies that aren't wearing cargo shorts. They have, like, cyborg bodies and they're, like, have, like, oh, you have a knife for an arm and, like, saws on your, I don't know, knees or whatever. And then, like, they can just walk around and everything's fine and strange and they, like, kill all their robots. It's very odd. Also, with, like, the story, there's so much, like, sci-fi, I don't know, cliches in general. And it's kind of like they're just trying to make a different version of Blade Runner, like which many dystopian sci-fi films are trying to emulate, at least like the American ones that I've seen. But along with the cliches, besides the fact that it reminds me of Blade Runner, there's like this, I feel like in every futuristic dystopia, there's like a game that's really deadly. It's kind of like futuristic gladiator fights where like people in, they're like in this version, people in robot suits play like deadly roller derby and slice each other's heads off for, like, cheering crowds.
Lovely.
Yeah. And again, it's just like, oh, his head came off, but we're just going to put him in a new robot body, and he's fine with it. And everyone's like, yeah, take him down. And I don't know. It's very odd. And the only thing protecting them is, like, the plexiglass at a hockey game. And I'm like, he just cut that guy in half. You're not afraid?
Yeah.
I don't understand. But, yeah, I just feel like the cliches of, like, super dangerous game and, like, people just killing everyone left and right, sort of really for no reason. And I don't know. I can definitely tell it's based off of, a manga, but I don't feel like it maybe translated super well. It's clunky. And so much of, like, the lingo is used to describe this new dystopian future. They just, like, talk about the fall. And I'm just, you know, okay, sure, yeah, sci-fi, the fall. That happened.
Right, yeah.
And they have to just lay out so much history and whatnot that, like, I kind of feel like the writers, they just have to choose between, like, the clumsy, like, information dumps and, like, sort of trying to explain the setting. Like, so that way they can also have the action. So it's like, okay, do we have this action scene or do we have an explanation of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they make a choice that doesn't quite feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's odd. To talk about the effects, because of course James Cameron is involved, so we have to talk about the effects. The CGI is very good. James Cameron used much of the CGI that he had learned when making Avatar to make this film. He actually was talking about making this film before he even made Avatar, but he made Avatar instead before this one. And a lot of people say that he did that because he felt Avatar was more of a pressing subject because it relates to the environment and things like that. So he wanted to make it earlier. When I think about the fact that he delayed it so long, I wonder if that's why he chose, early 2000s fashion style, because it's when you start thinking about it. I don't know. That's also, I guess, the manga is like from the 90s, so potentially. But he's been thinking about it for a long time. Initially, he was going to direct it, but then eventually handed it over to its current director, which again is Robert Rodriguez. So he's very involved. You can really see that the techniques are like, if you've seen behind the scenes when they're making Avatar or Lord of the Rings, for example, it'll be a lot of people in a green screen room. Mm-hmm. And the character of Alita, for example, the actress will have like the little dots on her face and be in like basically like a green morph suit.
Right.
And so the animators and the people who are doing CGI are tracking her movements and using her acting cues to then influence how they animate and move the character.
Wait, are you saying those aren't her real eyes?
I'm saying those are not just contacts. So she's almost, I guess I would really say it's kind of like she's completely CGI. I mean, she's obviously based off a person, and really the character Alita looks a lot like the actress who plays her besides the eyes. Mm-hmm. But you can kind of see the similarities. So I do have to commend the actors for working in almost a completely green screen environment. So they did a pretty good job. But it's good. You know, the world building and the scenes look good, but it really reminds me of a video game. Mm-hmm. So much so. Mm-hmm. Like there are just scenes that felt like a video game cutscene. Like you'd be a video game character of like Alita walking down the street, and then suddenly a character would pop out from the dark, and suddenly you'd get like a black screen and you'd cut to some random narrative scene where the character's like telling you their life story and like being like, and now we're going to fight, like a Pokemon battle.
Now we're going to fight.
And it's like, oh God, no. Why are we doing it this way? So really, I just kept thinking that it was a video game. And I actually think it would be a good video game. Potentially after this movie they'd make a video game. I don't know. I don't know, James Cameron, if you want to take my idea, go for it. But it's a little awkward in movie form. Also, Alita's big eyes that I see in all the advertisements, I thought it would be a bigger problem for me, but I actually didn't notice them that much. Like a few minutes after, you know, she was on screen, I kind of just got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she looks way more computer animated than like everyone else.
Right.
But it's all right. I kind of got over it.
You know, we were watching the preview one day and my husband says, is it real? Is it animated? I mean, live action? Is it animated? What is that? Yeah. Like, I think it's both.
It's a weird mix. I mean, it is kind of like Avatar in that sort of way, you know, and how they're setting it up. But I feel like in Avatar, it's like, okay, you're in the like forest and you're all animated, you know, and there aren't as many scenes when it's like real live person with like CGI creature. And it just, I don't know, didn't feel as weird.
Yeah.
But overall, I want to say once we reached the end of the movie, I kind of enjoyed it. I feel like at the end I had like grasped all of the world building jargon, and I kind of, the story had really weeded out plot lines that didn't really need to be there, and it just kind of got propelled. The protagonist got propelled towards their ultimate goal. And honestly, it took 2 hours to set up what the ultimate goal was of the main character.
Much.
Yeah, it was long. So by the time we got to the end of the movie, I was like, oh, if they make a second, then everything else that was just sort of, I don't know, clunking up the first part would be out of the way. I would understand. And then maybe I could enjoy the second. But honestly, I don't really think I'm going to see the sequel unless I hear really, really good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't that interesting of this first film. But I mean, they just weeded stuff out that didn't need to be there. And it got better once we reached the end.
They should have weeded out in the editing process rather than using the movie to
weed
things out.
In the writing process, they really should have.
Yeah.
Some lines are just really not good. I guess my other overall comment is that special effects are good. And I like Christopher Waltz. So even though his name is like Dyson, like a vacuum. Which is not the name of the character in the manga, but whatever. And he's kind of the only person that I could even kind of take seriously, as he plays like this bumbling dad scientist, like running around, like sort of like Indiana Jones style, clutching his hat. Mm. But he's like running around with like an overly sized like axe weapon with flames. Like, I really can't take that seriously, except that it's Christopher Waltz. And I think is the only person that can really straddle a line between trying to be serious and then also goofy. You know, I feel like he can kind of play that well. Sort of like he's almost like trying to be a dad joke, but doesn't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's kind of sort of a dad, but then he's a scientist, but then he's also killing people. And, I don't know. It's a Christopher Waltz role that not many people could sort of pull off. So I enjoyed watching him. But, you know, if you have some extra time, you could potentially go see it or wait for it to come out on DVD. Okay, I want to talk about our next film, which is Ghost in the Shell. And this came out 2017. This is a American sci-fi film directed by Rupert Sanders, written by Jamie Moss, William Wheeler, and Erin Kruger. It's based on the Japanese manga of the same name by Masamune Shiro. It is set in the near future, where the line between humans and robots is blurring, and the plot follows the Major, who is a cyborg super soldier who investigates her past. Does that sound familiar? Robot person who investigates their past.
Wait,
interesting.
Are you telling
me a human brain inserted into a cyborg body?
Are you just repeating stuff?
Did I just copy and paste my notes? No, that is a different movie with Scarlett Johansson, who is not completely CGI eyes or whatnot.
Yeah.
She's just in like a, I don't know, a unitard. but it stars Scarlett Johansson as Major Mira Killian, Beat Takashi Kitano as Chief Daisuke Aramaki, Michael Carmen Pitt as Kuze, who's kind of like the main antagonist for much of the film. Okay, also Sarah, this is a French name, and
oh.
I'm going to struggle. But I know this guy by face, but not by name. Pilou?
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure. Pilou as bake?
Is that not even French? I might have been wrong.
French doesn't have those two little, I don't know what you call the A and the E when they're swooshed together like that.
Oh, no. I even judged the ethnicity of the name wrong.
I mean, it could be. I just don't remember that in French.
Okay, well, Pilou as Buck.
Sorry,
who
Pilou.
Who plays Batu, and he... Or Batu, I'm sorry. He plays Batu. And this actor I recognized, he's on Game of Thrones. He was very good. He was actually probably my favorite. Well, I have a couple favorite characters. And also Juliette Binoche as Dr. Ouellette.
That one I do know.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so things I want to mention about this film. So in both films, there is really the effects. That's a really big part. And a lot of that is because they're sci-fi films. They take place in the future.
Pilou is Danish.
Oh, darn. I'm so sorry, Pilou.
He's from Copenhagen.
Oh, well, I mean, that wouldn't help you pronounce it, but it's not like my Danish is any better.
Yeah, I got nothing on that one.
Okay, so I really did enjoy this film. They both have pretty good effects. The cityscape, again, of this film, it just reminds me of Blade Runner, probably even more explicitly than Alita did. Just there's like in Blade Runner, in the original and in the remakes, it's like this very, very dark city. And there's like billboards that are moving and like giant holograms of like robot women who try and convince you to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much like Blade Runner, the grittiness. So much so, just robots running everywhere.
Apparently the future is gritty robot, like, and billboards.
And it's like always raining.
Yeah, grittiness, dark robots, billboards.
Yep.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah, basically. And I guess, again, I just feel like so many sci-fi movies just want to be Blade Runner, which, I mean, I felt like I watched it and I was like, oh, yeah, Blade Runner is super, like, I don't know, it was really a trendsetter. It was avant-garde at the time. I get it, but I think this movie is, I think Blade Runner's a little slow. So this is not quite as slow. But we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about Ghost in the Shell.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out.
There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are continuing to talk about the film Ghost in the Shell. I want to clarify the actor that I said earlier, Pilu, he played Euron Greyjoy in Game of Thrones. He continues to play him because he's one of the characters that is not dead yet. But I just wanted to say that because I know because Game of Thrones, and I can't not talk about it. But I just wanted to mention, he is very good in this film, and I really enjoyed his character. I didn't actually recognize him at first as his role of Game of Thrones. I was just like, I've seen that face before. But anyway, he did a good job. So I want to continue talking about this film. Another thing about the effects is I mentioned how it had that like grittiness that reminiscent of Blade Runner. Like it was dark and rainy and like there were giant holographic billboards. I really felt that because of that, it reminded me of a manga. Because I really get like a gritty feel. I get like this dark, like dirty, like sort of bloody feeling that is exuded in a lot of specifically shonen and seinen manga. And those types of manga are like the action type of manga that are typically geared towards the male demographic, which is, I don't know, you might know other ones. Now I can't think of one. But like Naruto is like considered like a shonen manga. It's the type where characters are fighting all the time, and a lot of it focuses on like storyline, but also there's violence and fighting and things like that. I really felt like I've read manga before, and I felt like this captured the feeling of grittiness. And I get that feeling kind of in American comics as well. Like in some of the Marvel comics, there's like this gritty, very rough nature to it that I don't always feel in Hollywood Marvel films. But I felt that grittiness more in this particular film. It reminded me more of the grittiness of the manga. So I will say I really enjoyed that. Also in this film, there is a mix of special effects with like robots. Also just special effects with the actors and also costuming and makeup and all of that. And it's not just CGI. And I felt that that was really convincing for me. Like the stunts were very convincing for me, mostly because it's not all CGI. Alita to me felt like so much CGI, and I kind of buy into it more when it's a mix of different effects. Like there's like, okay, this person is clearly meant to also be robots, like to be a robot, but some of that is conveyed by costumes and makeup, not just a CGI robotic arm. And I think I just enjoy that more.
Okay.
And I think I don't know. I just buy it. It looks more real to me than like Alita's eyes, you know?
Right.
I can just see it being real more. I also want to mention Scarlett Johansson plays the main character. I did enjoy the way she walks as this character. There's like a stiffness to it that really appears very robot-like. And she definitely has the physicality to play a role where there's so much stunts, so much fighting, running, gunshots. I really did enjoy that. But I feel like I can't mention this film, or Alita for that matter, without mentioning the whitewashing and sort of the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I really remember this a lot with Ghost in the Shell. And like, I remember it more with Ghost in the Shell than like what I'm hearing now with Alita, but there has been a lot of controversy because they say that this is based off of an anime, based off of a manga, the characters should be Asian. They're Asian in the original material. Mm-hmm. And yet the casting are actors who are not Asian. For example, obviously Scarlett Johansson is not Asian.
Right.
Or the actress who plays Alita is not Asian. And just like generally, like in both films, I guess you could say the cast is relatively diverse. I felt that more in Ghost in the Shell, the actors are more diverse in ethnicity. But again, the protagonist is someone who's white. I don't feel like I can weigh too heavily in on the subject, particularly with Ghost in the Shell, because I have not read the manga. So I know that in the manga, the character, like, it does go by Major, but also has a Japanese name.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, you would assume that that character is Japanese. And there are other characters in the manga that are clearly not Japanese, that are, you know, like of a European descent and don't look like some of the other characters that are drawn to look Asian. I will say, though, in terms of a lot of controversies where characters are in animes and mangas and then are sometimes portrayed by white actors and actresses, I don't always feel that every character in an anime or manga is Asian or is meant to be Asian. I have conflicting feelings because I feel that sometimes the anime drawing style is not meant to necessarily be Asian. At least that's in my opinion, and I'm sure many people would disagree with me. There are some artists that when they draw characters do look like, oh, this person looks Asian, this person doesn't look Asian. But particularly with this character, the character is kind of a cyborg, so I feel a little bit like they're maybe not necessarily Asian. But again, I could be missing a major plot point here. I apologize if I am. But personally, again, I don't feel like every character in anime or manga is Asian.
Hmm.
But that has also been a controversy that has come up with Alita as well.
Yeah.
So it's something that unfortunately will probably not be going away. I think that'll just continue. And also the controversy did kind of hurt Ghost in the Shell at the box office. So that is curious to see. And Scarlett Johansson is in hot water again because she will be portraying a transgender character in an upcoming film.
Mm-hmm.
So that controversy comes up again. Okay, overall, I will say between the two films, I enjoyed Ghost in the Shell more. I liked the action more. It felt like less of a kid's film to me. It was a little bit grittier and more believable. And between both films really show versions of the future that are rather dystopian, just in slightly different ways. And they both deal with the concept of human or robot and kind of the connection between memories and what makes us human. The continuous search for your memories and for your past, and if that really defies you, if what you can remember really makes you human or not, or potentially, I don't know, makes you non-human, makes you a robot. It's an interesting enough, I guess, discussion that will be talked about again and again in more movies, I am sure. These are just some ways to tell that story to, I don't know, varying degrees of personal interest for me. Also, something that I thought was interesting is that in Alita, there's a need to enhance your body for survival. And in Ghost in the Shell, there's not as much of a need as really a desire. And it's more that the technology becomes available, and because of that, people want to enhance themselves. So it is a bit of a difference between need versus want and the idea of what the future will hold, whether we will need to enhance our bodies to survive, or if we will simply want to in order to, I don't know, keep progressing, and some of the potential dangers that that can possess to everyone involved. So they are interesting. If you are into sci-fi, you might be interested. Or honestly, you could probably just read the manga or watch the anime. Ghost in the Shell has other animated movies that are out. I believe the first Ghost in the Shell movie was very influential for the creators or for the directors of The Matrix. So it has been a big influence in other creative people's lives. I think mangas can be really good, and I would suggest it. So I have enjoyed both these films. I will potentially watch Ghost in the Shell again. I will probably not watch Alita again or the sequel, but you might enjoy it. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.